गोपी जना बल्लभा गिरिवर धारे गोपी जना बल्लभा गिरिवर धारे यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारे यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तेरा वनचारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा जय प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा पदा प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा
Hare Krishna. Is that okay? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayana Namaskrita Naram Chaiva Narottam Devam Satvatam Devasam Udarayat. So we'll recite verse 49, 25th chapter, 4th canto, the characteristics of King Puranajana as contained in the most holy scripture, the spotless Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, given to us by His Divine Grace through the A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Mukhya Nama Purastad Dvas Tayapana Bahudano Vishayo Yati Pura Rod Rasagya Vipananvita Mukhya Nama Purastad Dvas Taya Pana Bahudano Vishayo Yati Purarad Rasa Gya Vipananan Vita. Mukhya Nama Purasad Vas. Any other Matajis try, please? No Mataji is going to try today. Our voice. Mukhya, the chief. Nama, called. Purastat, on the eastern side. Dvaha, gate. Taya, by that. Apana, of the name Apana. Bahudano, of the name Bahudana. Vishayo, two places. Yati, used to go. Purarat, the king of the city, Puranjana. Rasagnya, of the name Rasagnya. Vipana, of the name Vipana. Anvitaha, along with. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace through the A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The fifth gate, situated on the eastern side, was named Mukhya, or the chief. Through this gate, accompanied by his friends named Rasagnya and Viparna, he used to visit two places named Bahudana and Aparna. The fifth gate, everyone repeat, the fifth gate, situated on the eastern side, was named Mukhya, or the chief. Through this gate, accompanied by his friends named Rasagnya and Vipana, he used to visit two places named Bahudan and Apana. Purport. The mouth is here described as the chief or the most important gate. The mouth is a very important entrance because one has two functions to conduct with the mouth. One function is eating and the other is speaking. Our eating is done with the friend Rasagnya, the tongue, which can taste so many different types of food. The tongue is also used for speaking, and it can speak of either material sense enjoyment or Vedic knowledge. Of course, here, material sense enjoyment is stressed. Therefore, the word rasa-gya is used. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamani. Namaste Sarasati Deve, Gauravani Pacharini, Yervase Susanyavadi, Pastra Chavasi. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Puru Nitananda, Sri Advaita Garada, Sri Vasili Go Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. So, Brajahari, with his love, has forced me to speak. So I am not qualified, but on the request of His Grace, I will speak, and forgive me for my offenses. Sitting, of course, this is the Vyasasana of the speaker of Bhagavatam. But my offense to sit above you, but I have to take this seat. The fifth gate situated on the eastern side was named Mukhya, or the chief. Through this gate, accompanied by his friends named Rasagya and Vipana, he used to visit two places named Bahudana and Apana. Vachu Vegam, Manashakrodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam. So this is this Jiva. Jivan Mukhi Sahi Jiva Dal. Lord Chaitanya says that through the proper use or improper use of the tongue, we can be facilitated for liberation, or we can become more entangled in our material situation. So if we observe the emergence of a person from their previous birth after entering into the womb and they come out, the first sense that becomes active immediately is the tongue. And the Vedanta Sutra, with the commentary of Srila Vidyabhushan, Srila Prabhupada comments on this anamaya, that the first expression and consciousness of the living entity is ana, which is sought after by the tongue. We can see this in children, especially of the mammal species, almost universally, that everything that comes by, they have to know it by their tongue. They know the world by their tongue. And they try to defend themselves or express themselves with their tongue. So this is the first active sense before anything else. And so gradually there is a development from anamaya to pranamaya, some social consciousness, and then gyanamaya, understanding something beyond just the immediate external that can be grasped or experimented with. There are 10 senses to grasp and experiment with, and central is the mind. And according to how the mind is, then we perceive what to approach. So the process that Srila Prabhupada has given on behalf of the previous acharyas, actually is extremely potent. There is no other yuga in which such a potent process for self-realization, or as we better know it, Krishna consciousness. Self-realization is a general term, but what is that self? What is that self who has become placed in this material body and is thinking that he is that material body and looking out through the material body and thinking that through this material body all is mine? This is the Hamkara Vimodatma Kartahamita Mandate. We are thinking two things. Aham, I am this perception of myself. We are always aham, because the soul is eternal. What is that aham? So in the current state for most of us, and to differing degrees, is ahankar. I'm thinking I'm this body. We're situated in the human body, but we have been situated in 8,400,000 bodies, probably many times. And in each of those bodies, instantly, we think we are that identity of that grouping of senses around the mind. Because the mind already is tuned up to think, I want this kind of enjoyment, and the facility is given by the Lord, Upadrashtanamantucha, that, oh, you want to enjoy like this, so if you want to enjoy like this, tatasta, then you get this kind of body. So the parent sometimes has to suffer in a certain way. The child wants to do this and is headstrong and will do that. So, in the first sense, then this mukhya, the first chief of the sense of the tongue, rasa gyan. Rasa is the taste, and gyan means to know it. There's different types of use of this term gyan. Gyana, gyatva, gyam. In the Bhagavad Gita, the 18th chapter, verse 18, I think, Krishna explains that the perception of the self, the gyan, is also the perception of the self, is done according to the field that one wants to see. So we get into this body because we wanted to see this material world in a particular way. Because in truth, the soul is not really prepared to enjoy this dead material energy, because we are soul. And in truth, the soul is prepared, his actual nature is to enjoy the pure spiritual energy in relationship to Krishna. So this is Krishna's arrangement to bewilder us. And in this verse, it's describing how it's this mouth that is first binding us, and or with the predilection given to us by our already accumulated consciousness from the previous life, then we think in this way we can explore and find happiness, seek this rasa, this taste. So we're always seeking taste, and the transcendental benediction of Lord Chaitanya, which is more powerful than any of the other processes in any of the other yugas, is also wonderfully the most simple. Just these two things, properly using the tongue, gives us a wonderful start, support, and culmination. The means to Krishna consciousness and the ends of Krishna consciousness are the same. The speaking, everyone is engaged in speaking. And through speaking, we develop a consciousness. We're already born in a state of consciousness. And the animals, they also speak. The birds, they speak. The beasts, they speak. The mammals, they speak. But because they don't have much, any hope to go beyond that level of consciousness. It's a rare chance. my association of devotees, it's possible. As Lord Chaitanya benedicted the dog of Shivananda Sen, is it? Shivananda Sen? And again, there is an example of how through the tongue and through the two activities of the tongue, tasting and speaking, even a dog could achieve not just liberation, which means the ability to engage in Krishna consciousness, but the purest form of liberation where he understood his self-identity, because that dog just somehow or other became in the association of devotees. And Shivananda Sen, being purely transcendental, never perceived the difference between devotees of different castes or creeds or backgrounds or situations, nor of bodies. So when the dog was following, he simply accepted this dog as a member of the Sankirtan party on the way to Lord Chaitanya. And as they crossed the various rivers in Orissa, the boatmen would demand sometimes a high price. How many panas was that? One boatman asked. At that time, pana was the currency, the little shells. And one of the boatmen demanded something like 25 panna, which was extraordinary price. But Shivananda Sen could not deprive the dog of company. And when the dog was not allowed, Shivananda Sen paid the fare for the dog, just like all the other devotees in the party. And then one night, he would regularly ask at night, what is the welfare of the dog? Has the dog taken his prasadam? Because he immediately started to give prasadam to the dog. And then one night the dog was not to be found, and Shivananda Sen refused to take prasadam and sent all the devotees looking. Where is this devotee? Why is he missing? Has something bad happened to him? This is the purest transcendental state where an elevated devotee is so humble, he only thinks of the welfare of the smallest devotee. Everyone will look at the dog as the most insignificant. Would like to throw stones at the dog. Why are you following us? But Shivananda Sen found him as glorious as the other members of the Sankirtan party. And when they reached Jagannath Puri, Shivananda, all the devotees were astonished, but especially Shivananda Sen, because he saw that this dog was already sitting next to Lord Chaitanya. And from the coconut, there's the tiny pulp that comes, the very soft, call it meat. And Lord Chaitanya was throwing pieces of that meat, and the dog was enjoying the highest form of prasad from the hand of Lord Chaitanya. And then he asked him, now you chant Govinda, you chant Hari. And the dog instantly chanted, and in the self-same body, he went back to Godhead. So this power of chanting, because we cannot perceive the difference between matter and spirit. A spirit is something elusive if we're going to use the material senses. Because the material sense, even the sense of I in the human body, is markedly different than the sense of the I, say, of a dog. We discussed this last time. Or the pig. The sense of the nose of the pig, filthy thing, is his rasagyan. It's his halava, you know. And to us, it's something horrible and, you know, repugnant. His smell, his taste is different. But even in this human body, different situations, according to how we're conditioned, according to what culture we're in, according to how we've been conditioned by hearing, is a very subtle process. Hearing is sometimes not even things spoken, but what has been spoken, how it's carried in the activities of people, the conditioning of how we become conditioned to a particular culture or concept. So, for instance, in Finland, when it snows, because many Indians have never seen snow, and I remember when I was first in South India, and we have been prepared to try to give some examples by our linguists to try to explain to persons in South India with his snow. They said, try to explain like paper. But where I was, they didn't even have paper. These were tribals that had never seen paper. So something white falling from the sky that's cold. They had no idea that what's cold and wet. So, but to a person in Finland, when they see it snowing, they see any one of 19 types of snow. And there's one country in South America, I think it's Ghana, but there are other places, and their main food is like a yam, sakarkand, but it's a different type of yam. But they not only see like hundreds of types of sakarkand, but when they're farming and they're dealing with the sakarkand, they have 11 different names for the sakarkand as it's being grown. You see, this is a sakarkand in this stage, this is a sakarkand. You know, because their whole life depends upon this. So the person in Ghana who's growing sakarkand and the person who's... For them, there's a whole different world that's been... they've been conditioned to which we wouldn't even notice, you see. They've been conditioned to by this namashu. Nam namashu, this is in the Bhagavatam, how we become conditioned to see the world in a certain way by the things we hear. And it's a very subtle process. So now, this rasa gyan, people are thinking that this all is mine is the, you know, burgeoning, the flourishing concept. What should we teach our children? We should teach our children to have that the greatest capacity of human life is to be able to look around and say, somehow or other, if I'm very successful, all is mine. Of course, this is a preposterous concept because there is a finite amount of material energy. Krishna can say all is his because Krishna is infinite and he can make infinite energy. But we're presented with a finite amount of energy. And we're each trained by our conditioning and now by the modern culture especially, that the hallmark of the most civilized person is to be taught in childhood that you have the capacity to say, all is mine. You can become the richest person in the world. Perhaps you can maybe possess all the wealth of the world. So we understand this is the demoniac conditioning. But this comes from what people speak. And then it enters into our ears and very subtly or grossly conditions our consciousness to in the way that we interact with the world. So our hope is in Krishna consciousness that Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Surhidam Gyatamam Shanti Mrichati. These three things, the essence of what the devotees should speak and then hear. Not that everything is mine and everything is mine to enjoy. Ahankaram vimudatma. No, that nothing is really mine except my soul. That is who I am. That is my possession. And the sole purpose of taking birth in this material world, not just a purpose, not just a good purpose, not just an important purpose, but the sole purpose of taking birth in this material world, in this material body, is to use this tongue as the first step of speaking about Krishna, chanting Krishna's name, taking Krishna prasadam, and in this way come to sanity. There are three types of insanity in this material world, and Srila Prabhupada mentions this, that the person who is aware of the Vedic culture can understand immediately what mode of nature a person is by how? Their food habits. Of course, there's some refinement in this. We can find people who are eating vegetarian food and they can be acting in ignorance. Prabhupada comments about how some sadhus, their consciousness is in the mode of ignorance because of what they wind up doing. But this is the first thing. Generally, a person who is sattvic food, their tendency is towards a sattvic response to things. And the person who eats rajasic food, then their consciousness becomes conditioned in such a way that their habits and their activities becomes rajasic. And a person who becomes the enjoyer of tamasic food, then we see, or the tamasic way of eating, because there's not only the food, but there's the way of eating. So like sattvic food, if you start putting a lot of spices, and then you start to overeat, you can get into rajas or tamas, even by sattvic food. And the body can become polluted in that way. So consciousness of the living entity is liberated by these two processes, and we can give up progressively thinking that this is mine and I am the enjoyer of it. By coming to the sanity, not just of entering the sattvic gun, but by entering shuddh sattvic of Krishna consciousness through these two processes. Sometimes devotees, for good reasons, but sometimes overly exuberant or getting a little confused, advertise the Krishna consciousness movement as a vegetarian movement. So this is true in a certain sense. If one comes to our kitchens, one will see not only vegetarian, but a kind of peculiar vegetarian, where we will use milk products, although some people think that milk products are bad to use, and we avoid certain foods, especially onion and garlic, and we should also avoid excessive chilies, excessive spices, because this is also rajasic. We avoid onion and garlic because Krishna doesn't like onion and garlic. So we are not actually vegetarians, Prabhupada explained. He said that if Krishna had asked us to give him beef, if for some time Krishna comes to see us, and Krishna says, I am in the mood of beef, so the devotee, without hesitation, will give Krishna beef. But he does not say such a thing. What does he say? Anybody remember the verse? Yome bhakta. So, it's, of course, then automatically, just like in a house, we'd see this in wealthy houses in India, and that's declining, the percentage of people who can afford a servant is declining. Previously, even poor people had a servant in India. You go to even a village and the person would be like a dhobi, and someone would be coming and washing his pots, you know. And then the dhobi would be doing the clothes of the person washing the pots in exchange. So because there was so much servants in society, everyone could afford a servant. But in wealthier houses, you see that, you know, they'd have a big bungalow and many rooms, 10, 20, 30 rooms, and then there would be servants' quarters, and there'd be 5, 10, 20 rooms, and when the children would be there, they would put the children to school. So whatever they ate, there was no separate arrangement for the cooking for the servants in the higher class wealthy families. But they would eat the same that the masters would eat. So that is the status of the Krishna consciousness movement. We are actually Krishnarians, not vegetarians. And by default, because our master has commanded us only give him certain kinds of foods, cooked in a certain way. Therefore, we are, the Krishnarians are by default vegetarians. So this is a great opportunity for us. To Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagyavana Jiva Guru Krishna Pashadai Pai Bhakti Lata Biji. So we're given this opportunity. I had discovered, of course now times are changing in India, but in India Krishna consciousness was, as it became in the West, there was a time when the newspaper said that Krishna consciousness has become a household name. Srila Prabhupada was very proud of this, especially after the Beatles record, and in Europe it became the number one hit song, and all of the cafes and all of the discos were demanding the devotees to come, and it became the rage, you know, the Hare Krishna kirtan. And then there was one newspaper article where Hare Krishna became a household word. Everyone in the world practically came to know. But it used to be in India, at least when I first came, that Hare Krishna and Ram, invariably, even the Mayavadis, despite their so-called, you know, idea that we are one or that we become nothing and God is nothing, whatever their particular idea is, when you go to their ashrams in Haridwar, at least it used to be, I haven't been in many years, but I went there because one gentleman was offering us some 1,000 acres of land in the Haridwar, Rishikesh area, when Devi Sai Jindal. So I visited those ashrams, place to stay in Prasadam. And every single ashram, they had deities of Radha and Krishna, and they would do puja, and then they would all, you know, offer the prasadam, and then they had kirtan, you know, Hare Krishna kirtan, you know. It's like, so I asked Srila Prabhupada, I said, do they know what they're doing? Or they're just like doing this some, you know, unknown habit. Prabhupada says, yes, they know what they're doing. They know that what they are saying is not true. But to get popularity and get people followed, they give something. There was one ashram near here, Muktananda, I think. Similar, a little Mayavadi, but kirtan. So, but people started to neglect, and now India is becoming materialistic. Later, there's a verse, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan. What is that verse? We can add one other. Yanti America Vrata Naraka. Because what used to be, what almost every cultured Indian, and I don't mean cultured mean that they went to school or they were wealthy, but even in the village, people who had some culture, little bit, you know, where they were following the idea, they had listened to some sadhus or their parents were following the Kulya Brahmana. No one really wanted to go to such a place. Oh my God, you know, a place where people think that the purpose of life is to enjoy the senses. Whoa, this is hell, you know. And now, flocking. And no one wants to return. If the American embassy announced that they're going to give 100 million visas to Indians, I think, you know, there would be road jams for a month, you know. On lottery system, I think 90% of Indians would apply, maybe 100%, including all the ministers. And even if you had to give a $10,000 deposit, they give. So many people are so eager to go to that place, you see. Because the material facility is nice, and the standard of life, what am I, is judged by how much that is achieved. You see? All is mine, you see? And I will enjoy to my maximum. So we should take advantage. Maybe one day we can appreciate even one time when we say Krishna, how fortunate we are. Maybe we appreciate it, but maybe we can begin to appreciate how little we've appreciated, and we can try to facilitate Srila Prabhupada's desire to take the whole planet back to Godhead. Prabhupada said he says just like the Pandavas had conquered, it took 17 days, was it? Battle of Kurukshetra? 18? So Prabhupada said, if you would just cooperate with me, Prabhupada's words, he says, I can take over the world in 18 days. Such is the power of what Srila Prabhupada was presenting. So all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Forgive my offenses. And we can take some questions. Comments. No questions or comments? You always have a question. He always has a question. No questions today? Comments? Prabhu?
The dog of Shivananda Sen, yes. Somehow or other?
Yes.
Well, I heard the story just recently, the somehow or other.
I see.
But that was not an ordinary dog. Previously, this is in the Puranas, that there was a king And his
bring it a little closer to your mouth.
There was a saintly king.
Uh-huh.
And his particular activity was serving prasadam to the devotees and then taking their remnants. That was his humility. So Lord Vishnu wanted to see how this how serious this king was, so he appeared as a leper and took prasadam. And then when the king came and saw this leper has taken prasadam, instead of honoring the remnants there, he wrapped them up and took them with him. And then when he got on the road, he thought, I cannot take this prasadam. So there was a dog there, and he offered the remnants to the dog. And then Lord Vishnu appeared and said that because of this offense you would not accept, you will take birth as a dog, but I will come and deliver you as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a future life. So that is somehow or other.
The somehow or other.
How that dog came.
Yes. There's always a somehow or other. Actually, even though we're not in such an elevated platform, although we're all originally residents of Vrindavan, or Vaikuntha at least, and have gotten here in this material world, but there is a somehow or other, even on the localized platform for all of us, because we all have our own plans in our fertile brains, in our fertile consciousness, whatever state we are in human consciousness, whatever state we are in the animal consciousness or plant, we have some wrapped up goal, you know, how are we going to have this rasa gyan. And Krishna, upadrash anamantucha, only with Krishna's mercy can we do nonsense. Is it not correct? How is a person able to do nonsense? Of course, Krishna explains that don't blame your nonsense on me. It's not my plan that you do nonsense, but Krishna, we want to do nonsense only by the assistance of Krishna can we do that nonsense. But at the same time, Prabhupada gives the example, just like on the wheel of the potter, the mouse is running here and there, but the wheel is going, and the mouse is thinking it's running here and there, but it's just going according to the wheel, like this planet is revolving. Prabhupada also gave that example. And we're totally unconscious of how this planet is revolving and how the planet is within the solar system and everything else. And, you know, we're thinking we're the center of everything, but everything is revolving and we're just going along with that. So according to our desire, Krishna is apparently fulfilling good, relatively bad. But he's always ahead of us. That as we proceed, oh, I have the intention to do something, and that something is actually, you know, not good for our well-being, but Krishna is there to rectify, always rectify. Seated in our heart, Krishna, there's no moment that Krishna is not also making his plan for each and every one of us. We're oblivious, we're thinking it's just going on, but every moment, as we're sojourning in this material world, we're, you know, actually, except for the activities of Krishna consciousness, we're perpetuating our karmas, good, bad, it's irrelevant. Mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, the mixtures, all the different species. Because we're still making our plans of how we want to enjoy. We're still having these desires. And as we desire that, then Krishna is taking those and making some arrangement at every moment by which it will lead to multiple chances to regain our Krishna consciousness. And we can reflect in our own lives, no matter what of our birth and how much we began with Krishna consciousness. For most of us, we didn't have a plan to become Krishna conscious at all. Or if we had a plan, it might be mixed, desires of Krishna consciousness. And then we can see, oh, I wanted to do this, but this happened. And this was the arrangement of Krishna. And if we go deeper and deeper at every moment, we have our own, until we come to complete sanity. It's described in a previous canto how that in devotional service, initially, up to the perfect stage, the modes of nature are also there, because we're still mixed up in our mind. So even when we chant Hare Krishna, such a simple thing. What is this? Naham tishtame vaikunta yoganam ridashuva yatra gayanti mad bhakta tatra tishtame nara. Krishna says specifically that when the devotees, no condition here, when the devotees chant, then Krishna is there personally, especially congregationally. Krishna always is there. But we may be in some other state of consciousness, and when we hear the chanting, according to that state of chanting, consciousness, we will not properly interact with the chanting. We will not allow ourselves just to hear and chant with devotion. So even at that stage, then Krishna is making some arrangement. How can he come? How can he or she come to the perfect stage? So Krishna is always very vigilant. Every second of our sojourn in this material world. When a parent has a child who, some of us have children, and all of us are children of some parent, and we know that in some different ways, or we should know in some different ways, our children disappoint us. And then, especially once we get to be parents, or if we're teachers, or if we're spiritual masters, then we get to know, I want, you know, my students, or I want my disciples, or I want my children to do very well. And we make so many arrangements. And then the children, to differing degrees, will rebel against that arrangement, or do it improperly. But the parents always trying to help out that child, you know. But our capacity is finite. Even a person who's very wealthy, they struggle to help out their children. Now the richest man in the world, his child is set up in his business, Mr. Buffet. But his grandson doesn't want to enter into the business. So his legacy, which he's given away 99% of it, which is quite exemplary, but still it's going to rebuild itself to another 60, they still control 60, 70 billion dollars. And the son doesn't want, the grandson doesn't want the opportunity. He's got his $1 billion, so that's enough, you know. I won't do. So what can be but the disappointment of Mr. Buffet? So that's a material example. Even a person who's very capable, he manages companies, he's expert at dealing with people, and even his grandson, he can't get him to do what he thought was his best interest. So ourselves, we have no idea, or very little idea, what's in our best interest. You know, we look at things and we so conditioned, even up to the final stage, we're conditioned. Even in the mode of goodness, it's explained that the conditioning, there's 9 different conditionings according to the 3 different modes of nature. There's 5 conditionings, there's 5 conditionings in the mode of ignorance in performing devotional service. There's 3 conditionings in the mode of that come from the mode of passion in performing devotional service, particularly people who desire fame or profit or distinction from performing their devotional service. Prabhupada, he did not flinch. If a person wanted to become famous for doing some service, Prabhupada encouraged them, understanding that by doing their service, there was the hope of becoming reformed. But even in the mode of goodness, a person becomes conditioned to happiness. But especially in Srila Prabhupada's time, and not to take away with the present time the nice devotion that we see amongst devotees, but in Srila Prabhupada's time, there was no question but, you know, extreme austerities. We were his sacrificial lambs, in which the amount of suffering that we were exposed to, in retrospect, you know, was great. And Prabhupada knew it was great, but for those who could tolerate him, you know, putting it bluntly, Srila Prabhupada said, I have asked you to do this. Doesn't matter if you die doing it, you will do it. Do you understand? So this was extreme. So if one thinks, oh, I'm in Krishna consciousness and I should be happy, you know, I shouldn't be suffering, you know, I shouldn't be suffering. The suffering is sochati kangchati. That's a material suffering. But actually devotees, voluntarily, they take on sochati and kangchati. A devotee is always worrying about Krishna and Krishna's devotees. I had this discussion with Srila Prabhupada because I was, of course, my anxiety was because I'm materially, like, really conditioned. But, you know, Srila Prabhupada would, I had to go on. And so my only solace was to talk further and write more letters to Prabhupada about how I was suffering and how do I go on a few more days because he asked me to collect and I didn't collect enough and he asked me to do this and I didn't do it very well. And, you know, he was depending upon me, literally, and many devotees were depending upon me and I was not fulfilling that. So I waited for a good moment when Prabhupada was taking his massage and I asked him if it was a good time to talk, because we should always be gentle with our spiritual master. We shouldn't think, oh, my spiritual master, he's my, you know, he'll talk to me. So Prabhupada had asked me, at any time you're not busy, you sit. So I was sitting and I thought, shall I ask him now? So I posed this question, Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kankshati, that the symptoms of a person who's not in Brahma Bhuta is that they have this Sochati and Kankshati. I said, so Srila Prabhupada, my concern is how I should, you know, correct my activities in Krishna consciousness, not so much to be out of the anxiety, but I was taking that it's a symptom that my activities were not very nicely done. So I presented this to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is very magnanimous. I'll tell you the answer of what he said. And, you know, I take it in an interesting way that Srila Prabhupada was being extraordinarily kind to me, because I know very well why I'm in anxiety because of my conditioned nature. But still, so Prabhupada says, no. He says, your anxiety is for Krishna. He said, just like Mother Yasoda. And when I heard that, I said, Srila Prabhupada is like just going way out there, because I can't begin to compare myself even with Shivananda Sain's dog, you know. Now I know something special, but, you know, or even, you know, just a dog in the street that Prabhupada might say hut to, you know. So in my own understanding, the reality is that. And Srila Prabhupada is so generous. He's saying, just like Mother Yashoda, because I knew what he was getting to, she's always in anxiety about Krishna. She's in anxiety that another Trinivarta demon will come and steal her son and put him in danger. He said, so, all of your anxieties, they're in relationship to Krishna. And then I'm sitting there, I have an idea. He says, therefore your anxieties are transcendental. Anyway. I thought you might enjoy that story, Prabhupada's kindness. So a devotee is not interested in that happiness. When Queen Kunti was asked by Lord Krishna, that I want to give you, you suffered so much, you see. You know, during this war, and you suffered with your sons, and how much they may have suffered, and all your grandchildren are lost, and the whole kingdom is lost, but the mother suffers much more than the sons, you know. Because she, whatever the sons were put through, they were kshatriyas after all, and they were under the orders of Krishna. But the Queen Kunti, she really suffered, you know. She really suffered. So Krishna said, please tell me whatever you want, because I'm so sad that you have suffered like this. So what was the reply of Queen Kunti? Does anybody remember? Speak loud. Means?
Vipada Shantuta Saswat Tatra Tatra Jagadguru Bhavato Darshanam Yasyat Apunardvaho Darshanam.
And the meaning?
Give me more sufferings, because by suffering I will always remember you, and by remembering you I will not be reborn. Apunardvaho Darshanam.
She was worried about this mode of happiness.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you all for tolerating my speaking. If I've spoken anything nicely, it's because I've been asked to speak and some little ability has come. It's always nice to be here. I have to forgive Maharaj also that I'm speaking in his presence and sitting higher. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama.